Hello, this is Carol McCullough, and I'm here with my friend Susan Ray, and we are actually talking together here in my living room, and we're hoping to talk today just about a few things that we've discussed over this past year, actually over lunch, and she's told me some things that I thought were so encouraging, and actually, as I thought about it, things that I thought, I wish I could have known that when my kids were young. And I was encouraged also by Jordan's sermon recently from Psalm 127. And he used an illustration where we're talking about the mighty warrior who has arrows in his quiver. And Jordan said, you know, sticks are not arrows by nature. They need to be formed and fashioned, shaped in order for them to hit the intended mark. And I can only imagine as the warrior was fashioning his sticks that some of them required more effort when it came to making them than others. Some seemed to be just bent in the wrong direction, and at times just seemed downright unyielding altogether. I can relate to having an arrow that was more difficult to shape. Susan, have you had that in your parenting in the past?
Absolutely. I did not expect to have a strong-willed child. My first child was quite compliant and pleasant and easy to manage, and that's what I expected parenting was like. But as you know, no two children are alike, right, even in the same family. And my second daughter was quite a surprise to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as we teach obedience to kids, we would all agree that it's a God-given task. And could you share with us some things that you might say to young moms, any age moms, actually, things that would be an encouragement to them that could help them, especially with the stronger-willed child, with the child that really isn't wanting to please you?
Yes, my husband and I were very committed to requiring obedience of our children. We were in agreement on that we were going to expect obedience every time we spoke. Yeah. Whatever we said, our children were going to do, and we were committed to that. And I think that is the right way to go, that's teaching truth to our children about obeying God when they are under our submission. They start learning that. With our strong-willed child, who was our second child, it just became so much harder. It became like a burden to do every day. Some days I would wake up and just be dreading the day because I knew it was going to be like a constant battle with this child. And by the end of the day, I would be exhausted and angry and frustrated. And yet we were not going to give up on that commitment to obedience. It just was so much harder than it had been with our first child.
I remember you told me once about the first time you remember. Was it Jessica?
Yep.
The first time you realized, oh, this is going to be different this time around.
Yeah, she started talking back to me before she could even talk. She was, I imagine she was about 10 months old, kind of cruising around the furniture as children do before they can actually walk. And she cruised by the television and started messing with things that she was not supposed to. And I told her no. And she gave me a little sideways glance and turned back to do what I had just said no. And I spoke more sternly. I said, Jessica, no. And she turned around, looked me straight in the eye, and made a noise at me. And I was stunned because my son had never done anything like that. It was like the beginning, a tiny little peek into our future.
Yes, yes, I can relate, and I'm sure most of these moms can. You told me one time that you felt like you were like Yertle the turtle.
I was like that with our son, who was very compliant. I mean, he wasn't perfect, of course. He did things wrong, but he was easily corrected. He was sorry when he was disciplined, and he desired to repair relationships right away. And I felt like it was largely due to what a good mother I was. I had taught him very well. And yes, that poem from the book, Dr. Seuss book, reminds me of myself at that point. Oh, Yertle the turtle, oh, marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see. And I kind of felt like that in my home. It ran exactly like I was supposed to on the schedule that I had set and with the rhythms that I desired.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really good.
One other thing I want to say about that is when I felt like such a successful mother, I was also really judgy about mothers that I didn't feel like were doing as well as I. I thought when I saw children behaving in a way that I didn't approve of, that it was probably because their parents had not done a good job. So that was also part of my smug, proud attitude, was not just pat myself on the back, but also judge how other people were doing around me.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really good. I remember, you know, as a labor nurse, hearing older nursery nurses caring for babies in the hospital, and really before the child was even a day old, they would have a label for particular babies, like, oh, this one's stubborn, this one's easy, he's going to be a little lazy, or that one's got, you know, a temper. And I delivered three of our kids at the same hospital I worked at. And I remember one of these same nurses, she wheeled in our second son and she said, Carol, you've got a good one. He's quiet. And it's funny because I honestly remember in those moments that she said that, like, kind of feeling the sense of pride. Like, you know, I mean, here he was only hours old, but like that was some indicator of his behavior. Let's talk just a little bit about how we label kids. You know, even our culture's assumptions about good and bad behavior in kids, maybe even in the church. When you think of strong-willed or, you know, child, talk to me a little bit. What do you think about those definitions?
I definitely had those kind of assumptions that I hadn't really pulled out to look at, but as my two children were so different, I confronted them a little more head on. And yes, I felt like compliant meant good and strong-willed was definitely bad, because I was a good mom. And if there was problems with the children, it was their fault, not mine. So it must be that my daughter was bad and my nice compliant son was good. One thing I learned later was that my son was serving himself just like my daughter was. It came out of him differently, because what he really hated was confrontation. He wanted to just go along. That was what made him happy.
Not that he was trying to serve the Lord.
He was not trying to serve the Lord.
Right.
He was serving himself, and his way of serving himself was to avoid any kind of unpleasantness.
Yep.
And my daughter's strong will came out in a different way. It looked like disobedience. It looked like badness to me. Like it was her sin that I was seeing, which in large part it was. Of course, she was a sinner. And when she defied her mother, that was sinful. But it was not any more holy for my son to comply, because that's what he wanted to do. He didn't have a heart for God any more than my daughter did. It just looked better to me on the outside.
Yeah. And then as an adult, how did she describe that in her childhood?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because her period of strong will, of defiance, it seemed long to me. I was starting to say it was short. It seemed long to me at the time. It seemed like day after day after day. But she, even by the time she was in elementary school, she was a very pleasant child. But she told me then, she described herself at that point. She said to me, Mom, I was just standing up for what I believe in. And that really caught my attention. That was kind of like the first glimmer I had of strong will does not mean bad necessarily. And that what you want for your children is for them to have a heart for God and to stand up for what they believe in. And so I started to reframe that a little bit in my mind and think about there's a negative side and a positive side to any trait that you can think of. And compliance can mean passivity and just a lack of strength of character. Mm-hmm. And strong-willed can also be a sign of a very strong character who loves the Lord and wants to serve him.
Yeah.
I thought about that recently when I was reading in Genesis, this description of Joseph. And I thought, depending on how you read this verse, if I changed it a little bit, it would give you a really different picture of Joseph. What it actually says is, she spoke to Joseph day after day, but he wouldn't listen to her. Mm. And the she in the actual verse is Potiphar's wife, and she was trying to tempt him to sin. She spoke to him day after day, and he wouldn't listen to her. What if I change that? I don't know what Joseph was like as a little child, but if I change that to say, his mother spoke to him day after day, but he wouldn't listen to her. Mm. We would have a really different picture of that person. And yet it's the same kind of trait where standing up for what you believe in can be a really good and positive thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really good. We talked about how looking back, you know, our kids are getting older. Mine, I have two in high school, and then everyone else is out of high school. And you said something I thought was good, that, you know, parenting is hard. I made it harder.
I did. I definitely made it hard. So it was so hard to parent Jessica. It was so frustrating. She screamed at me, and she had these tremendous temper tantrums, humiliating to me many times. Mm. And it was, I felt like some days that I didn't say a single thing to her that she didn't scream no at me. Mm. And it was really hard. And it was right, I think, that I didn't enjoy that. Like just, oh, this is going to be a great day. My daughter's going to scream at me. No, that's not what I should have done. I should have lamented, which is kind of like sorrow with faith, which I didn't really have. But the thing that I did that made it harder was I just tried over and over in my own power and strength. Like, I can make this better. I will make this better. Right. I'm going to make this better. Just kept pounding and pounding. Mm-hmm. And I didn't pray as much as I should have. Like, a friend told me that once, that probably I wouldn't be doing better if I were praying more. I was very angry at that, but it was true. I tried much more than I prayed. That's one thing I did that made it harder. Yeah. Another thing that I did is that I borrowed trouble from the future, because I would picture Jessica as a 13 or 14-year-old, and I thought, I just can't do it. She's 3 right now, and what is she going to be like when she's 13? And I worried about the future. And I added despair to my frustration over something that never happened. My daughter was very loving and open with me as a teenager. She came to me often. She listened to me. We had none of these strong-willed problems as a teenager. But when she was 2 and 3 and 4, I just was dreading it and expecting it and grieving over a future that never came.
Yeah. Those what ifs.
Yeah, the what ifs. Ugh. And the other thing that I suffered with was I was just so proud. Mm. I could not fail because that just shattered my self-image. And I said I was a very judgy mom. And one day that came back, pointed straight at me, as we were in Costco or Sam's, and we had this huge cart full of stuff, and Jessica threw herself on the floor, and she would just scream in this guttural way and kick and hit. And my husband picked her up and took her to the front of the store. We tried not to ever give her anything positive when she had those fits. And I don't think we even knew that day what she wanted, but we were not going to take her out if that's what she wanted. So he just stood in the front of the store, and I took this huge cart to the line to check out. And the two women in front of me, these middle-aged moms, were talking about that terrible, screaming, out-of-control child and her terrible parents who had not shaped and formed and disciplined her. And I just stood there and listened to those women speak out words that I had thought. It was like a classic example of being judged by the judgment that you use on other people. It was happening to me. And I could hardly get out of the store that day because I just needed to cry. I cried and cried. I was such a failure as a mom.
Right.
And it's because of the pride. And that wounded me in a way that it should not have if I had been content in what the Lord was doing and confident that he was guiding us.
Yeah. I remember feeling the same way and having, like, thinking, I don't want anybody to know that they're misbehaving.
Right.
And I'll kind of try and maybe even somehow cover for that.
Right.
And then being embarrassed. And then the next step was usually anger.
Oh,
made
yes.
Made me angry. And prayer really didn't come into play there.
Right.
And I wish that's something I wish also I would have done differently, that I could have stopped and prayed both for my own pride, my anger, and as well as their handle. Their
exactly.
Behaving. Yeah. You know, and we should certainly, I don't know if we haven't already said, we should say what a lovely adult Jessica is. I mean,
she really is.
Yeah.
She is a lovely adult. And from the time she was four on, we had a very harmonious relationship.
Yeah.
She's serving the Lord in her church.
She sings in the choir.
She sings in the choir. She's a faithful, a friend, and we have a great relationship. So that's something that I wish I had had at that moment in the days when it seemed so hard to know that the whole of our future was not like those days.
Yes.
There were many wonderful things to come.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And, you know, and I think, as we think about like our sin, you know, we see the sin in our children, and it's taken me, you know, years to, it's like, well, that is such a clear picture then of my own sin.
I really agree with that. When I was raising my children, I was all about the law, the law, the law. The law says children obey your parents. I wish so much that I had also been saying, and the gospel. It wasn't just Jessica's sin, which, I don't know, I did not think I was going to cleanse her heart by making her obey.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I didn't share the gospel with her as I should have. I should have been saying things like, I also don't like everything that God tells me to do, but I must obey because that's good and right. And I understand that you don't like what I've told you to do, but you need to obey because that's good and right. And when we're angry like this, we sin against God. But that's why he sent Jesus, to forgive us of our sins. I had so many opportunities to talk about the gospel to her, to a little disobedient child.
Right.
And I should have been telling her, this is our problem. It's not your problem because you're not doing what I want, but this sin is our problem. Because none of us always obeys God.
Right, right. And in the restoration of that relationship as you're disciplining, I mean, with a young child, there were many times that I wish that I would have been also one to apologize.
I
was quick to pull them into an apology. But there was times I thought, well, if I go back and say that, will it be confusing or will it? And I really don't think that that's the case. I think young children respond very well to, and they are so forgiving.
Oh, yes.
To having a parent say, you know, I acted unkindly. And my voice was not how it should have been in love, you know.
Right.
They disobeyed, but I disobeyed God too.
Yep.
Because my heart, you know, was not loving towards you. Will you forgive me?
That is really good. So, I did not do that either. I kind of felt like that too. Like I was the lawgiver.
Right. We don't
I was the policeman and I was the judge.
You're Yertle, Susan.
I'm Yertle. Oh, marvelous me. I didn't apologize. And that's a regret that I really have.
Yeah, me too. Well, and then just in closing, you know, things we're thankful for.
Oh, yes. I am so thankful that the Lord gave me a strong-willed child. I have become to delight in the fact that God does not waste our suffering. He doesn't waste our hard times, but he uses it to prune us. Pruning is not pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. And I am so thankful that I learned more about my own sin by confronting my daughter's disobedience and strong will. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful that I could see actually good results. I think that we did good things as parents. Not everything we did was bad. It was right to insist on obedience every time. It was right. And I think that that bore fruit later. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that the gospel was true even when I wasn't paying attention. Hmm. That even though I was not using these opportunities to preach the gospel to myself and to my children, but it was still true. And there was still forgiveness. And the Lord's love is steadfast, and he doesn't give up on his children when they don't get it right. So all of those lessons I learned from having a strong-willed child, and I really am very grateful.
That's good. That's so good. There is grace. Oh, very good. Thank you so much. Would you close us in prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, thank you that you tell us in your word the truth that children are a gift from you. And Father, we confess that they don't always feel like gifts when they don't conform to our will. But I pray, Father, that you will be using our children to help us become more conformed to your will, and that we also are teaching our children. Please help us to be faithful in the calling that you have given to us. Please help us to have tender hearts, to love the gospel, to ask for forgiveness when we need it, and to have hope, Father, because you are the one who takes sinners, who grow them to be more into the image of your Son. I'm so thankful for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.